This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, climbers, this is Brent.
And this is Johnny.
Today's episode is a climb classic. It's one we think is worth another listen. But if you have not heard it before, it is new to you. And here it is. Hey, climbers, this songwriter wrote one of the biggest songs in country music ever. And he's written a bunch beside that. And we're going to talk to him today on The Climb. Please welcome to The Climb, Tim Nichols. All right, Johnny, do your thing.
Welcome to The Climb! This is a show dedicated to helping singers, songwriters, and indie artists like you create leverage in the music business. Leverage is the key in the new music business. You're not going to be plucked out of obscurity. The big company isn't going to make it happen for you. You've got to make it happen for yourself. That's the bad news. The good news is you don't need anybody's permission. You just need to create leverage in the music business. C-L-I-M-B. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. That's a Baxter M from my co-host and good friend, Mr. Brent Baxter, who's also a hit songwriter with cuts by Alan Jackson, Randy Travis, Lady A, Joe Nichols, and more. Got a couple number ones in the last 18 months in Southern Gospel, making miracles happen in so many different levels. And what I love about Brent is he helps songwriters like you turn pro by revealing how you write like a pro, do business like a pro, and then ultimately get you connected to the pros with those mission-critical relationships that are going to get you to climb up the ladder. You can find Brent very easily at songwritingpro.com. Once again, that's songwritingpro.com.
And I would like to introduce you to my co-host, Johnny Dwinnell. Johnny owns Daredevil Production. They're breaking artists digitally by identifying new fans through data. Look, if you're an artist looking to increase your streams, blow up your video views, sell more live show tickets, and get discovered by new fans, TV, and music industry pros, then Daredevil Production can help. Daredevil has worked with multi-platinum artists like Colin Ray, Tracy Lawrence, Ty Herndon, and Andy Griggs, just to name a few. You can find Johnny at daredevilproduction.com. That is production singular, no S, and there is no S because there is no other Johnny D. Johnny!
Nashville Nights International Songwriter Festival 2021. This interview that we're going to share with you today with Tim Nichols, who is, you know, he wrote Live Like You Were Dying for Tim McGraw. He wrote Heads Carolina for
Jody Messina,
amongst some other songs. And we just get a chance to sit down and talk with the man. He offers up some sage advice for songwriters and just a really, really interesting conversation. Tim Nichols is the sweetest man that you'll ever meet. Just what a great guy and what a fun interview. So without further ado, guys, we're going to get into this and we hope you enjoy it. All right, Johnny D with the Climb Show Music Business Podcast. We are live from the Nashville Nights International Songwriter Festival here in Odense, Denmark. And I am sitting next to the legendary Mr. Tim Nichols.
I don't know about the legendary part, but it's good to be here.
I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I just, you know, I'm gonna be beat up if I don't say that by everybody else in the world who thinks you are. So there you go.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking the time to come here.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Is this first time in Denmark?
It is. First time.
What are your thoughts?
It's been amazing. Just amazing. And, you know, I'm kind of an amateur photographer, too. I love taking pictures. Oh, so cool. I've got my Sony camera and G Master lenses and just walking around all day long. Because it seems like everywhere you look, it's a picture.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's been just so much fun for that. And then just the, you know, just everything's lots of old buildings here.
600 years old or more. Yeah. And you're like, what?
The people are amazing. I mean, it's just, I'm already, it's like, when can I come back?
Yeah, I really love it too. Right? Like, starting with the plane flight, like the stewards on the plane flight, I was like, they're talking to people. Yeah. Really talking to people, you know? And so your sister Mary, like, is she better now? And I'm just like, what?
Right.
You know, like they knew because they asked before when they delivered the food, then they came back for the liquid, you know? And it's like, it's so warm.
Just engaging and caring and all of that. Yeah. And so we flew in to Copenhagen. And so I spent a couple of days there as well. And had a great time and hung out and, you know, did the tourist photography thing there, and then we got here. It's like I said, I mean, it's just a wonderful part of the world to be in.
I love it. So you've had a few performances already, and any more today? Are you done for the?
I'm all good. So I'm just
chilling.
I'm just watching. Absolutely, yeah. Nice. I'm just taking it all in.
Not any. I mean, we have an amazing amount of talent on this festival.
It's incredible.
You know, songwriting. Yeah. Any up-and-comers that caught your eye, or a certain song or a certain performance that maybe...
Well, I know, so, and I know I've heard Tyler mentioned Ava Page, and this 17-year-old phenom singer, songwriter, guitar player, just like this triple threat. And I didn't know Ava. I hadn't met her before. There's a girl, Laura Oakes, from London.
That song.
So I watched her play, her play the other night. She just amazing, incredible. So this, just for her songwriting, her guitar playing, her singing. I mean, there are a lot of talented folks walking around here this week. And Dan Smalley is a new artist buddy of mine, and so we've written a couple songs together before, but I hadn't heard him. We played a BMI songwriter deal a couple of years ago in Boca Raton, and it was great to catch up with him a little bit and to hear him and some of the new songs he's been writing. So, I mean, it's just on all levels. It's just been really great to be here. Like the guys mentioned, Eric and Tyler, we had a chance to write a little bit today, which is always, I mean, anytime songwriters get together, we're always going to want to try and find a time to, hey, man, it's time to write a song here.
Right.
You know?
And look at y'all are so busy, too. I mean, it's like you got to grasp at the chance when it's right there in front of you, you know? So, I mean, wow, you've got some career. Amazing work and craftsmanship.
Thanks.
I mean, just attention to detail and clear passion for the craft. What was the first song that you wrote that you heard on the radio? Do you remember that moment?
Yeah, it was a Keith Whitley song. It's called "I'm Over You."
And I heard you from that the other night.
Yeah, I've played that, and it's man, I just, you know, we all move to town. And And actually, you know, like so many folks, I moved to town thinking I wanted to be a singer.
Okay.
You know, and then I got to Nashville, and just the songwriting community is so strong and tight-knit, and the industry really respects and promotes the craft of songwriting. And so I started going to the Bluebird Cafe and seeing those writers in the middle of the, you know, in that circle there. And it's like, man, they look like they're having so much fun. I want to figure out how to get in that circle.
Wow.
You know, so I started writing a lot of bad songs, which I think is part of the process.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I feel like you have this kind of self-defense mechanism that you don't really know at the time how bad your bad songs are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, because otherwise if you did, you'd probably quit.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so you don't know.
You have to have a certain amount of healthy delusion, right?
I think that's, of course, absolutely, 100%. You have to have some dreamer, yes, it can happen, you know.
Because you don't start out with "Live Like You Were Dying."
Absolutely not.
That's a whole lifetime, you know, that it's the old adage of the famous artist, the big, big time famous artist died in the 30s with the weird faces. I'm forgetting his name. It's so
A painter?
Yeah.
Picasso.
Yeah. Picasso's at a restaurant and some lady comes up to him, hands him a napkin. She's like, "Here, write me, you know, make draw something on this. He's like, okay. So he draws it. Takes him 5 minutes, gets it done. She's like, oh my God, this is wonderful. And she goes to grab it. He's like, that'll be $500. She's like, that took you 5 minutes. He's like, no, it took me my whole life plus 5 minutes.
That's exactly right. It's a great story.
So you have to suck first to get better at that craft.
It's just part of the process. And the other thing is, I mean, this, and I'll talk, whether I'm talking to new songwriters or new artists, you know, one of the things I tell them is, you know, a lot of times if you have to love this.
Yeah.
The music or whatever. I mean, I feel like it's anything in the arts. You have to love it. Yeah. Because if you're just in it for the money, it's like, forget it, because it's too hard and it takes too long to get to the money.
Yeah.
So you have to love it every...
There's easier ways to get to the money.
100%. 100%.
You told Janelle something that was brilliant that I'm going to steal from you. And that was that, you know, because this was me too, a former artist, and I toured, and I didn't choose music. It chose me.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, right. I mean, I work with artists now, and they're like, well, you know, we haven't been in a band for 4 or 5 years. And I'm like, I don't understand how that's even possible. You know, I was playing when I was in sixth grade, seventh grade, sucking.
Yeah.
But I could not do it because 100%. It was just, that's where I was going to be. So
no,
I love
choice.
That you said
no
that.
Choice.
And I want to ask you a couple questions here that I have my co-host Brent shoot over to me here. He was supposed to be here, but wasn't able to make it. He got sick right before he came. The whole family came out with the flu. How important are artist relationships and access for songwriters, in your opinion?
I think there's no doubt that it is helpful. And I mean, and the longer it's just, you know, natural course of a career, the longer you're in it, the more you're going to have those relationships. I mean, I've been fortunate, and over the years, I mean, I had Jody Messina's very first single, Heads Carolina Tails California, and I had an early single on Chris Young, The Man I Want to Be. And so anytime, you know, when you can get in on an artist, their success early on, that doesn't mean that they're going to cut everything that you send them, but it is nice to have a relationship to where when you have a song that you feel like would be great for them, you can just shoot it to them.
Right,
and it's
right.
Like, hey, check this out.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, if you're, you know, when, because new writers, it's all about, you know, when you're brand new, when I didn't know Keith Whitley when he, you know, I didn't know him personally.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know Ronnie Millsap personally when he recorded one of my songs. And so in that case, that's where the song has to make the introduction and the song has to be great.
Yeah.
And so I remember, like, back in the day, I got my first publishing deal for Ronnie Millsap, and he had a small independent publishing company, and Mike Reed was writing there at the time.
Okay.
And Mike Reed is, you know, I mean, he's just one of my... just an iconic country songwriter, or actually not just country. And so, man, it was like Reed would get good news every day, and he was just writing
just,
these great just songs.
Gravy train and, with so, biscuit wheels.
And so the thing was, I figured out, it's like, for me just getting started, my songs couldn't be, to get songs cut over Mike Reed, my songs couldn't be as good as Mike Reed's. If I'm going to have, they have to be better than Mike Reed.
Boom.
And so that what's, and then there was a time when Mike Reed's songs couldn't be as good as Harlan Howard's songs. They had to be better than Harlan's. And so now there's a new writer somewhere that his songs can't be as good as Eric Paisley's or Tyler Reeves or Tim Nichols. They have to be better than.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's like, it's like this, like, you know, so you might think, well, that's not really fair, but it's equally unfair.
Yeah.
Because we've all had our time where that's just what it takes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast so much. It's been going for 5 years, and we really go down this road where, and you said it in a much different light, and I like that angle. So it's hopefully another way to get it through to aspiring songwriters' heads. Like, well, my stuff's as good as, you know, the stuff on the radio. And we'll be like, well, you has to be better than that, right? Because if it's as good as what's on the radio, all my buddies write those songs too. Yeah,
right.
Why wouldn't I give him the cut?
Right.
It's my friend. You would do the same thing, you know? And it's so now you've got to blow the mind and have that undeniable song where I have to have this on my record kind of a thing. That's right. I love that you said it that way.
And the other thing is, I think for new writers, you can't, and as hard as it is to not to do, but you can't take rejection personal. Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, I'll tell them, when you're playing a song for a publisher for the first time, that publisher is hoping your song will be great.
Yeah.
Your publisher is hoping you're the next Jimmy Webb.
Because, you know, they're wanting your,
absolutely. It keeps the doors open. So they're hoping your song would be great. But the fact is, great songs, it's not the easiest thing in the world to write a great song.
No.
You know, I mean, we can.
If it was, everybody beat Tim.
Everybody, well, I don't know about that. But I mean, it's like, it's tough. Now, good songs, you know, I was listening to one of your podcasts with Eric a little while ago, and he was asking the difference between a good song and a great song, and it's like miles.
Yeah.
Miles. You know what I'm saying? It's a long way. That's right. You know, the thing is, I mean, we show up every day, you want to write a great song. But I mean, when you're making a living at it, sometimes you just have to write the song in the room that day. And it's all about, and ultimately, to me, it's all about the idea. To write a great song, you have to have a great idea. And great ideas, they're not growing on trees.
That's right.
You know, and so, I mean, for like, you know, Craig and I, the day we got together to write Live Like You Were Dying, we didn't have a clue we were going to write that song that day.
Yeah.
And it was just, that's the other part of that is, must be present to win.
Yeah. You got to show up,
baby. Got to show up, baby. Got to be in the room.
We had, so one of the artists, I don't know if you had a chance to meet her or see her or not, on this festival, her name's Chelsea Stallings. She's the girl with the purple hair. That's kind of.
I haven't had a chance to see Chelsea. Yet.
She is originally from Salt Lake City, and about 4 years ago, she put on the very first Climb conference. It was a songwriter conference up in Salt Lake City, and she asked Brent and I to come up there. And we're like, okay, like, thank you for that, but we're going to need to bring some more weight with us, you know. And so we got Shelby Kennedy to come, and Chris Oglesby.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I've known Chris a long time, man.
He said, you know, as soon as they got done writing that, they called me first. And we're like, man, that's so cool. Would you mind sharing that story that you share on stage about that song and that whole thing? Because I thought that was just, give me the feeling.
So I talk, but, you know, I've said it over the years. I've told this story, you know, a fair amount, and I'm always happy to. The day we wrote that song was just like any other day.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, it's been like no other day,
right?
Really. You know, but like I said, it started like any other day. And Craig and I got together and we were just, you know, making small talk and having coffee. And I was just sharing with him a story that I'd heard the day before about a friend of ours who had just gone in for a routine physical, going to the doctor, did all this blood work. They ship it off to the lab. The lab got this guy's files mixed up with someone else's.
Wow.
And they call him back and they said, we're sorry to tell you, there's trouble. Your days are numbered. Basically, that's, you know, and the numbers don't go very high.
Yeah.
So that reminded Craig then of another story that he'd heard on NPR. This lady had, she'd been diagnosed with cancer. And while she had time, she said one of the things she wanted to do was she wanted to go mountain climbing in the Rockies. Well, our buddy had always wanted to jump out of a plane. And so he did. You know, he started skydiving. And so we had the skydiving and Rocky Mountain climbing. And we started, you know, tossing around lines like Dying to Live. And Craig, man, just came down, you know, he said, hey, man, what about Live Like You Were Dying? Like, oof, dude, I love that.
There it is.
Let's write that.
Yeah.
And so we did. We knew that Tim McGraw was starting to look for songs for a new project. And, you know, a lot of people have asked us, you know, did you write this? Were you thinking about Tim McGraw? Because of his dad, you know, Tug was going through this terminal illness. And the truth is we weren't. We were just writing. We were just trying to write it the very best that we could write it. And then figuring that, okay, if we can just write a great song, people are looking for great songs. And it just so happened that Tim was starting to look for a new project. And so that's the first place we went. Craig has had a lot of success with Tim before. And so we got it to him. It was one pitch. He was the only artist that heard mm-hmm. it. He said, I'm in on this. And so, and I feel like songs find their way. And it, I think without a doubt, that was just supposed to be his song. And yeah. I feel like what he was going through with his dad at the time, came through in his vocal performance, and I was just, it was meant to be his yeah. song.
It really was. And so that brings up another question that I have, because somebody was asking, you know, did you write that for Tim? When you are writing a song, are there times when you're in a room where, well, obviously, I guess if you're with an artist, then that's got a way down, like, okay, I got a high chance of getting this cut with this artist that's in the room with me. How much do you consider what the artist will or won't say, or what radio will or won't spin when you're in that
sure.
wedding
room? Yeah. So if anytime we're in the room with an artist, we're writing for that artist. Mm-hmm. Now, there are other times when we're in a room, you and I could be writing, and it's like, okay, we know that Jason Aldean is looking for a song, or George Strait, or whoever. So we can, I mean, then there are some times it's like, okay, man, let's try and aim something. Let's try and write a song for a particular, for George Strait.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so there are days that I like that kind of project writing.
Mm-hmm. That gives you a bit more focus, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Some, right. You have more parameters, exactly. Yeah. Phrasing and range and all that kind of thing. And so, over the years, I've had a bit of success going that way.
Okay.
You know, writing a song for Alan or Reba or whoever. It's a bit of a two-edged sword in that if you tailor this song specifically to a particular artist, again, let's say George Strait, and if George passes, then so 9 times out of 10, when you go to play it for any other artist, it
sounds like George Strait.
Sounds like a George Strait song. Yeah,
right. Like, no!
So that's kind of the, you know, the two-edged sword of that. But ultimately, you know, there are those days, and it goes back to, man, let's just try and write a great song and let it find its way.
Let the music do the talking.
Yeah.
Have you ever maybe made specific decisions on the demo, knowing that it was going to be a certain pitch to a certain artist? Like, let's, you know, key this a certain way because this is the key of that artist, or something along that, something that would make it as familiar as humanly possible, or they just like, it's Tim Nichols.
It's not that. I mean, I think part of it is, you know, you want, in a demo, I feel like you try and make it just the most, because ultimately, you want it to, I think, make it what's going to make this song the most accessible
mm-hmm.
to, you know, or the, can there, you know, because ultimately, you know, you hope that there are several pitches,
mm-hmm.
you know, that yeah. they're, you know, now they're, now this is like, Scott Hendricks is a buddy of ours. And so he was saying, just in terms of like Blake, he's produced tons of Blake Shelton hits.
Mm-hmm.
And so Blake likes to be, when Blake is listening to the demo, he likes to be able to sing along with it in his truck.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, in that case, then you want it, then you, in
key
terms of
to,
key,
to Blake, yeah.
that's going to be, okay. yeah. So
yeah.
we're going to, so if we're going to think that, then we're going to, it's like, okay, we're going to pitch this, we're going to put this in a key more for Blake than like Gary LaVox or whatever.
You know what I'm saying?
So that's absolutely something we take into consideration.
Have you ever done maybe multiple singers on the same song demo because it could go female or male on a pitch?
Yes. Although it seems like for the most part, you can, female artists are better about listening through male than a male with a male vocal on it. You know what I'm saying?
That male artists are listening with a female vocal.
Yes.
On it. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Now, a few years ago, I wrote, I just had the incredible opportunity, the good fortune to write a handful of songs with Burt Bacharach.
Really?
So it was like the most fun.
Wow.
I mean, we wrote at his house. You know, he would be like here, and I'm just, he'd be at the piano, and I'm just sitting there right beside him, and it's like he's playing these melodies. It's like, holy shit, man, he's being Burt Bacharach right now. He's playing these melodies that are just incredible. And so we wrote this one song that we had a couple, that we had male and female vocalists on, and called Carry On.
Mm-hmm.
And so, sometimes it feels like the song warrants that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just let the song
speak to you.
Yeah. Everything. Be who it, what it wants to be, and get to whoever's in terms of singer or whatever.
I like that. Yeah. I think success in anything, in this case, we're specifically talking about the music business and in songwriting, there has to be a level of courage to push through the imposter syndrome that we all get as we start to climb and we start to get in the rooms that we wanted to get into, but we couldn't before. I think everybody has a tinge of that, and there's a fear, and the courage is moving forward in the face of that fear, right? Knowing that and trusting in yourself. What is it when you had those moments earlier in your career that was there something that you said to yourself or you thought to yourself that, you know, got you through that? Like, did you have an imposter moment like that early on?
My glasses, anybody that knows me knows my glass is always half full.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to be, I'm always going to be grateful. I'm always grateful for those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is just, is being prepared and doing your homework before you get in those rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, that's the thing. And that's just respecting them and yourself enough to be prepared when that opportunity presents itself.
And yourself enough is the key word in there.
Right.
That's awesome. So let's button it up with this. What would be the most profound piece of songwriting advice that you could give to the aspiring songwriters, the audience of American Songwriter magazine?
I feel like it's keep believing in yourself. And if this something, if you're where you're supposed to be and you're supposed to, again, it goes back to that thing of we all moved to Nashville because we feel like music, but we chose music because it's something that we had to do.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep believing. It's going to be hard. It's really hard.
Save you the suspense. Yeah, exactly.
It is not going to be easy. And so, and for as long as, again, I've been so fortunate and so blessed over the years, it's still hard. I still hear no 9 times out of 10. But I just know I don't take that personal. And I feel like when you get rejection, when you hear we're going to pass on this song, again, that doesn't mean that they don't like you. It doesn't mean that they don't like the song. It's just not the song they're looking for that day.
That day, yeah.
And so just keep chasing it. And the other thing is just rattling on here, but the thing, I think, again, it goes back to whether it's music or anything in the arts. If you want to be a doctor or an attorney or an engineer, that's like a 4-lane highway. And it's lit, and you know how far, if you're to be a doctor, you know how far you are every mile of the way from being a doctor.
Yeah.
You know, you've got college, you've got med school, you got the lawyer, you got the bar exam, all that. If you want to be a singer or a songwriter, that's more like, you see that opening in the woods over there? Go that way.
Yeah.
And you never know. And so, you know,
it's like,
yeah. You head to Nashville, yeah, not knowing a soul.
Yeah.
But once you get there, and then when you're there, you never know. You never know how close you are.
Yeah.
To breaking through and arriving. But you just have to, it's a, you know, that bless the broken road thing, you know? And so you just have to show up. But it's just that thing of, like Tyler was talking about, the mistakes are part of it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that, and it is that, as cliche as it sounds, it is the journey is part of it.
Yeah.
You know, and we all have one.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing I feel like with songwriters, when we get to an event like this, we all, even though we may not know each other when we show up, but by the time the event's over, we're like, we have new friends.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're all basically the same person. You know what I'm saying? In that we chose music and music chose us.
Yes, 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 yes. You know? Yes. We're in a tribe. For sure.
Exactly.
And you can recognize that in another, you know, instantaneously when it's real and when you see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the perfect statement to button this up. Thank you so much, Mr. Tim Nichols. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks, Johnny D from the Climb Show Music Business Podcast on American Songwriter Magazine's podcast network. You can find that at americansongwriter.com/podcast. And once again, we're broadcasting live from the Nashville Nights International Songwriting Festival here in Odense, Denmark. Tim Nichols, thank you again, and safe travels to you on your way back home.
Thanks, pal.
All right, take care.
Good to see you.
All right, well, that concludes the interview with Tim Nichols, short and sweet. He had places to be, people to go, people to see, places to go. How's that work? Anyway, guys, we hope you enjoyed that. Some insights, some perspective, some proximity to one of the cats that is at the top of their game. Mm-hmm. Super cool for me. I enjoyed meeting them. And we hope you like it too, guys. This podcast exists because we want you to win. So keep on climbing.
And we'll see you at the top.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.